Our scripture reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things.
This afternoon, I don't have anything to do. So if you need help moving something or with yard work or anything, don't call me because I'm going to take a nap. I've been involved in LTC since the beginning of the year. Just to let you know, and I'm sure you already do, our kids, our volunteers, those that are directing it, the coaches, everybody involved has been involved from right after lunch on Sunday up to and through sometimes worship service in the evenings involved with LTC. So our kids are worn down, our parents are worn down. Everybody has to listen very closely except for any coaches in LTC. If you need a nap, you got to pass today, okay? What I would like to do today is read to you a little bit out of the U.S. Constitution. It says, Article 2, Section 3, Clause 1, the President shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. What that is the part of the Constitution that is telling the President of the United States that we want a State of the Union periodically from you. And you've all watched them. A lot of times we look forward to them with great anticipation to see what the president is going to say about the state of our union. And whenever I was preparing for this, I researched several of the State of the Union addresses, and I found some commonalities in almost all of them. A lot of times they talk about threats to the U.S. They talk about successes that our country has had or the president has had. They talk about the state of the economy. They talk about whether we are in wartime or at peace. A lot of times they'll talk about the state of our military. And they usually close out talking about that we have a hope for tomorrow and then also talk about the condition or the state of the Union. And that's kind of what I'm going to do here today. And I realize that I'm not the president of Southgate, but I would like to go ahead and give you a state of the church or a state of the church here at Southgate address. Now, if you have watched State of the Union addresses, you know how they work. You do not have to interrupt me with thunderous applause, okay? But for just a second, I'm going to talk to Robert Stover in the back. Robert, here's what I would like. This part that I'm saying to you right now, I'd like for you to edit this out. And then what I want you to do is have a real loud announcement, say, ladies and gentlemen, I now announce the guest speaker, Ward Lusk. And then I want about 2 minutes of solid applause. Edit it in. And then about every 2 minutes, 3 minutes throughout, about 15 seconds, you know, like whenever they say you could win a new car on The Price is Right, that kind of applause. Now, I only want you to make one of those CDs. That's for Paul, okay? The rest of them just do just like this, okay? All right, so I shall begin. Elders, deacons, ministers, teachers, coordinators, and members, I would like to talk to you today about the state of Southgate and the state of the church in general. First off, I want to let you know that we have threats to our church. Our world is inundated with drugs, alcoholism, abortion, unethical behavior, pornography, and abuse in our families. And if it's happening in the world, it can't help but come in the doors of our church building and sometimes infect those of us here. It reminds me of the verse in Romans 7:15 that says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I know that all of you try your best to live a new life worthy of the calling. But we live in this world. We're called out of it, but we still have to live in it. And I think of the world that we live in today compared to the world that I grew up in. I grew up in high school from 1980 to 1983. And I was never once offered drugs. And I never once saw drugs. Now, I know drugs came in the 60s and were prevalent throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s, and on. But I never saw it. All I ever saw was I parked at a place in Central in the old parking lot that was right on the corner that was called the Smoker's Corner. And all the kids hung out and smoked Marlboros there and leaned on my truck. But I never saw any kind of drugs, and nobody ever offered them to me. But in today's world, with illegal immigration and new synthetic drugs and just all the bad things that go on, it is something that is prevalent not only in our public schools, but also in our private schools and our churches. It makes its way in. We see families that are destroyed by alcoholism or abuse. And the world almost promotes unethical behavior in the workplace. Abortion was something that was once illegal, became legal, and tolerated, and is now celebrated. I recently saw a video clip of a young lady that was promoting abortion, and she was talking about her own life, and she was talking about the multiple abortions that she had, and she ranked them. And she said, "The best abortion I ever had was my first one." And then to thunderous applause of the audience, showing their approval of it. But as many threats as we have in this world, we have many successes. Our world promotes hatred. But here at this church at Southgate, we love each other. Our world promotes division. But here we celebrate unity. We celebrate respect for old and young, red, yellow, black, and white, male, female. Everyone is accepted and everyone loves each other. If you're somebody who gets up and leaves as soon as the service is over, I would like to invite you sometime to stick around and just sit and watch. And I know probably Terry Gibson and anybody else who locks up has to have two feelings. Isn't this wonderful that these people love each other so much? And are they ever going to go home? Because you will see people standing around and talking for 20 and 30 and 40 minutes after church because they love each other. Another success that we have is evangelism and preaching the truth. I have heard preachers, both regular ministers from this pulpit and guest speakers from this pulpit, and I've never once heard something that I thought wasn't God's truth. So I appreciate Jason, Milton, those that are here today, and for Paul, for always standing up for what is true and for what is right. I've been involved with LTC, like I said, for the better part of this year. And I want to tell you a little bit about the success of that. This year, 15 San Angelo Christian Academy students participated in LTC. And they participated in 43 events. 33 Southgate youth members participated in a total of 288 events. So I know that our children are interested in leadership, and they are also interested in the truth. Matthew 18, 18 through 20 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" I'd also like to talk about our economy. Our church is one, is a giving church. In the church, in the money that we give, we take it and we invest it and a huge portion in missionary work in countless countries throughout the world, across our nation, and also here in our city. We spend a large portion of it on benevolence, helping those that are less fortunate than ourselves, or helping those within our congregation that have fallen upon hard times. We teach the gospel, we teach our youth, and we teach our students across the parking lot at SACA. Matthew 25:21 says, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." I believe that is true of us. He has entrusted us with things and we've been faithful. And I trust that he will put more challenges in front of us so that we can be faithful in those. This church has been incredibly generous to our school in San Angelo Christian Academy. And it was stated earlier, there's going to be an opportunity next week for this church to generously give again to San Angelo Christian Academy. And I'll let you know just a little bit. I'm not going to preach too much about San Angelo Christian Academy, but being so involved over there, I can't help but say a little bit about it. There's a lot of times in this community, people will say, "Where do your kids go?" or something, and I will say, "San Angelo Christian Academy," and they go, "Where's that?" And they're always a little puzzled, and I'll say, "You know when you can choose to go to either Wall or Cristoval? When you look to your right, there's a church there." They go, "I know the one." I go, "The church is behind that." They go, "I never knew." So we have some challenges on where our location is and that we're small and we're not well known. But the people that do know of us know great things. And I will tell you this. For those of you that have contributed of your money and of your time, I want you to know a little bit about what occurs over there. There are schools and private schools that teach morality and teach how you should act and teach respect. I think that's all good. But San Angelo Christian Academy, it goes one step further. And it's not a little step. It's a big step. And you guys have been a huge part of that. Then at every day, you can go down here, and you're welcome to come, to go to the fellowship hall and see members here that are teaching chapel, leading chapel services, or see children there that are leading chapel services. Kids that come from here, sitting on these front rows, or kids that are unchurched, that Ms. Harris has them practicing, mimicking other people, and giving it a shot. And so what you'll see is kids, there's a large portion of children over here that don't go to church anywhere. But they're going there because their parents want them to be in a place where they do get those Christian values. So know that your efforts of prayer, of money, of time, of volunteerism go as a huge outreach to this community. And we there are thankful to you. I'd also like to talk to you about, are we at a time of peace or we are at a time of war? And the answer is yes. We're at a great period of harmony within our church here at Southgate. We have long-term ministers that preach the truth and have been here for quite a while. We have elders that seek wisdom and seek peace within the church. There are so many churches that you see that have division among them, that they are going through a split, that they are divided because over one topic or another. But I don't see that here. What I see is a great unity and great love for each other. And I think we live out very well John 13:34-35 that says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." But I also believe that we are at an unparalleled time of war with the world. Christians are persecuted by terrorists, and they are maligned by our media. we are mocked for believing in Christ. Christians are made out to be a judgmental people, while Islam is made out to be a faith of peace and love. Biblical truths are said to be lies, and the rantings of atheists are held up as inspired thinking. We have church bombings. We have bombings and car attacks and shootings of all different sorts on places of business and places of worship. But remember this, in John 15, 18 and 19, it says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." I'd also like to talk about our military. Our Christian soldiers are in place. We recently added two new elders, and we are equipping our soldiers of tomorrow. The SACA children across the parking lot are learning about Christ, and our Southgate youth are equipping themselves with leadership skills. We often read Ecclesiastes 12. We will read the first verse or two. I'd like to read the first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes 12. It's beautiful. It says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the door to the street are closed and the sound of the grinder fades. When people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of danger in the streets. When the almond trees blossom and the grasshopper drags itself along. And desire no longer is stirred. Then people go to their eternal homes and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless." You know, you wonder why it says to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, but whenever you think about it, if anybody's ever tried to learn the piano or something at an older age, it's almost impossible, isn't it? I've told my kids before, your mind is kind of viscous like peanut butter, and mine's more like peanut brittle now. It's just hard for me to retain things the way I used to. One of my dearest friends is a man named Cheng Wen Chen from Taiwan. And Wen Chen, whenever he was in grade school, he was told by his teacher, "You need to pick an American name. Everybody needs an American name. So for tomorrow's assignment, all boys, all girls, pick an American name. But don't," the teacher said, "don't pick, for boys, don't pick the name Tom, because everybody in America is named Tom." Well, that was her stereotype and her perception that everybody here was named Tom. Well, the next day when they came around and they were asking everybody for their names and they were saying Susan and John and all these different names, she came to Wen Chen and she said, "Wen Chen, what's your name?" And he said, "Tom." And she gave him a C. And I said, "Why did you give her the name Tom?" He said, "Until she said the name Tom, I'd never even heard of an American name. It's the only one I knew, so I picked Tom. So my good friend Jung Wen Chen is now to me Tom Chang. Well, Tom Chang is a beautiful man. He's a guy who loves people, and he wants everybody to love each other. And he loves the United States of America, and he gets up and he sings the Star Spangled Banner every morning. And one of the things that he has told me is that his children, he has two daughters and a son, he said in his broken English, he said, "It makes me so angry that my children can speak better English than me." Tom is never going to speak perfect English, is he? I met him whenever he was about 20, 21 years old, and he's my age now. He's never going to be able to do it because he didn't do it when he was young. And his children didn't mimic Mandarin speakers speaking English. They mimicked English speakers speaking English. So therefore, they speak perfect Mandarin and they speak perfect English. So whenever he tells us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, there's a lot of wisdom to that. When your mind's like peanut butter and not like peanut brittle, when you're more accepting of things, whenever you can learn as a young person to look at a Christian and see what a Christian looks like and mimic that. Earlier, I talked about the love that this congregation has for each other. What I have personally experienced is I have seen mature, elderly people here at this church take my sons under their arm and show them what a strong Christian believer looks like. And I can never return that or tell my gratitude to you for showing that much love to my children and letting them mimic that. So today, I know that there is a hope for tomorrow. And I want to tell you the reason for this award ceremony. We live in a trophy society. Davis was a member of a basketball team this year that lost every game except for one. And the one game that they won by 1 point at the buzzer. And we were supposed to have a party, an award ceremony afterwards. And I asked him, I said, "Do you want a trophy to go on your shelf for that?" I said, "It doesn't really seem like much to celebrate to me, winning one game by 1 point." But in our trophy society that we have, that's what we celebrate, isn't it? We celebrate participation. If you are somebody that is involved in past or currently with a small congregation, whether it be in West Texas or Texas or anywhere in the nation, what you can do is you can sit at the back of the auditorium, and here's what you can see in a lot of Churches of Christ. You can see a lot of bald spots and a lot of gray hair if you sit at the back. Because our congregations are aging, aren't they? And if you're like me, I've sat in some small congregations before, and I've looked around, and I've thought, I'm the youngest one here by a long shot, and I'm not young. And I think, what's going to become of this church in 20 or 30 years? Will it exist? And I'm not predicting that it'll thrive or it'll be gone. But if it continues the way it is, it could very well be gone, couldn't it? Except by the grace of God that other members come in or there's an influx of something. You know, I mean, somehow that church could grow, but the trend is that we're aging and that some churches may not be here. Now, for those of you that are sitting here that have the bald spot and you have the gray hair, you may sometimes look around here and go, "Wow, we've got a lot of older people. Are we going to survive? Are we going to thrive?" Today, this award ceremony for me is as much for you as it is for our kids. Our kids don't need, really, in my opinion, to be acknowledged on whether they got a gold, a silver, or a bronze award. I don't care. I really don't care if they got the gold, the silver, or the bronze. It's not that they are successful It's they are significant. And in this moment, are they significant, impactful leaders in this church? So for you today, that you're older and you've given your time, you've given your money, and you've been on your knees praying for our children, today is a day that I pray gives you hope. That here in a little while at our ceremony, you're going to look up here and you're going to see dozens and dozens of children that are from Southgate Youth. You're going to see some that are from San Angelo Christian Academy that go to some other churches, or they may not go to church at all. And they've all been invited today. Some of them are here, I'm sure. And you'll get to see them up here. And what I pray is that you get to see there is a hope for this church at Southgate for tomorrow because of the leadership that we are growing today. What I'd like to do now is Colossians. We read 3, 2, and 1. Wendell read it for us. I'm going to read 2 and 3. I'm going to tack one on. It says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So, church family, the state of the church here at Southgate, I will announce today, is strong. For several reasons. Our leadership seeks God's guidance. Our ministers speak the truth. Our members love each other. And our children are not afraid to lead. And moreover, Christ's bride is without blemish. Ephesians 5:25 through 27 says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. The state of the church is strong, because Jesus gave his sacrifice, and because God is always true. Today, you may be someone that the threats of the world are overcoming you. You may not have experienced the success that you believe that you should. You may be someone that doesn't have a church home. Or you may not have accepted Jesus at all. If any of these are your needs, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.